Hi everyone, I'm Ruthie Chhabra. I work at the Albert Einstein College of Medicine in the Department of Pediatrics. And this project is called CHIC. That's Cervical Health in the Community. The women came up with this name and we stuck with it and it seems to work. And this project is supported by the Foundation of Women's Cancer and based here in Chicago, Illinois. So underserved and minority women continue to be disproportionately affected by cervical cancer, as we all know. So Latina women have the highest cervical cancer rates of all racial and ethnic groups. But death from cervical cancer among black women is higher than all other racial and ethnic groups in the country. That's the statistics that most people know and don't know, but it's just something that amazes me every time I read it. So there is definitely a very, very big need for developing new prevention strategies to reach these ethnic minority groups. Now, cervical cancer prevention strategies have already been studied in older women, mostly like 40 and above, and there are no cervical cancer screenings interventions that have been shown to be efficacious for minority women under the age of 40. So there haven't been many things that have been tried yet. So changing behavior of young minority women, particularly of Latina women, necessitates a very, very novel, a different kind of approach that research shows that leverages the way social norms and close personal relationships influence behavior, specifically if you're kind of really looking at the urban communities which are very dense. So that's what research has shown, and kind of we thought about those issues to keep in mind when we were designing this study. So why did we choose to focus in the Bronx? So building on the existing cervical cancer screening literature and drawing on some innovative HIV-related prevention work that has been done in the poor urban communities, we tested the feasibility of using a peer-driven intervention to increase knowledge about HPV vaccination and cervical cancer screening outreach among young Latina women in the Bronx. So why did we focus on the Bronx? The reason is in the Bronx, 3/4 of the population are black and Latina, and also 1/3 of residents are foreign born. So it's not surprising that the cervical cancer rates in the Bronx are substantially higher than in the country, almost 35% higher than in the country. So it's really a hub of cervical cancer issues, related issues, and we really wanted to kind of focus on those. And more than half the population of Bronx is Latina, so over 50%. So that's why we chose to kind of work here and kind of continue that. Despite a number of federally qualified health centers and Planned Parenthood clinics in the Bronx that provide access to care for all women, whether they have insurance or not, relatively high cervical cancer morbidity and mortality still persist, as I just shared with you the number. And also the fact that Bronx County is the poorest county in New York, and not only in New York, almost in the country. And it has the highest cervical cancer rates, as I just mentioned. So why did we use a PDI, peer-driven intervention, and not do a simple education program? So a PDI is different from other peer education programs, interventions, because it gives all the participants, an opportunity to be a peer educator. In our case, we call them the health advocate, and that was something very, very important for women. And I'll just share why. So an important part of PADI are the secondary incentives that the women get, and which are rewards that an individual receives based on the behavior or response of a significant other. So in their social network, so people, how they, other people respond to them, they get their rewards based on that. And so PDI relies on explicit outcomes, that is recruitment of others, and a system incentive like monetary rewards for recruiting other people into the study or for an education program. But the biggest part in this case was the certificate that they got, that they were the community health advocates. And that was like a very, very big thing for the women. So our project sheet design, it was designed basically for two age groups. So the current cervical cancer guidelines recommend that cervical cancer screening should start at the age 21 and continue at least once every 3 years till 29, and after that, depending on the baseline, the doctor and the patient decide how often to get it done. And there's certain recommendations for age 30 and over as well. But we were kind of focusing on that. So we hoped that the women aged between 18 to 29 would still, some of them would still be eligible to get HPV vaccination, and maybe they can talk to their siblings, their friends, who might also be who might also be eligible to receive HPV vaccination. While older women will be reaching out to the women younger to them, or their kids, or their younger sisters, and their own age groups to get more cervical cancer screening. So that's why we kind of kept two separate age groups. Our training was offered in English and in Spanish, and included didactic information, role plays, and communication training, and troubleshooting components to help trainees prepare for difficult or resistant network partners. So basically, they were trained in a workshop, and then they had to go out in their social network and recruit other women to come and attend the workshop as well. And every woman was given an incentive of $25 for attending the workshop, which was about 2 hours, so it wasn't too bad. We had food, we had good conversation, we had nice bags, we had logoed pen, which they loved, and everybody was kind of toting it on their bag, and that was kind of like something very good, and they all put their certificate in there, and they're like, I'm going to put it on my refrigerator, I'm going to put it on my wall. So it was just something that they could write in their resume, and it was a very exciting project to begin with for them. So we utilized the respondent-driven sampling, as I said, a form of chain referral sampling that is very ideally suited for dense urban social networks. So that encouraged women to refer a social network member, so a family member or a friend or social acquaintance they go to school with, or they meet in the bodega, wherever. So each participant's accomplishment was recognized through a certificate of completed training. So we sent our information to the young women and parents who had participated in our programs before at Albert Einstein, and who had expressed an interest to be invited again for different programs. And we sent it out to like about 8 women within the age group of 18 and 29, and about 2-8 women between 30 and 50. And we thought the first 10, whoever will respond, we will kind of get them to come in for the workshop. So in the first week, we got heard back from about 11 women who were invited for our first workshop. So there were 5 women within the age group of 18 and 29 years, and there were 6 women between the ages of 30 and 50 years. And we changed the PDI here a little bit. So basically how it happens is when they come in, they go through the workshop, and then they go out, and then they refer other people, right? We explained what the study was to them on the phone and said, if you want to bring a family member or friend along with you, bring them along with you. That kind of gave them the confidence that, oh, I'm not alone and I don't know anybody there. So that kind of made it very easy for them to bring someone along, just one, any one person along. There was a young lady who was 21 years, she actually brought her mother along, who was still under the age of 50, which was very interesting, made it a very interesting group. And the conversations that we had, so the education was very focused in terms of what we had to teach them, but the conversations around those topics kind of could go anywhere, wherever the women wanted to take it. So there were like a lot of personal information shared, there was a lot of laughter, and there was a lot of misinformation that women had. So we talked a lot, and women were really surprised. The biggest surprise was that women did not know that HPV can be transferred by men. They had absolutely no idea, which was very interesting, and most of them said, oh, I'm going to go home and tell my son to go get it done. So that was kind of interesting, or ask my brother to get it done, and that was the effect that we were hoping. Okay, so that's how we got started, and within 2 weeks, the 11 seeds, the first 11 persons that we kind of got and asked them to refer other people, they had referred 29 other women for the workshop. So this was a 6-month study. We basically finished it in 3 weeks because we kind of got everybody to come in. The mean age was 33.6, and 43% of the group was between the 21 and 29 year age, and 58% had children. 35% had children under the age of 18 in their household. And that was kind of significant for us because we wanted to reach that population that could actually talk to the pediatricians about HPV vaccination for their kids. So 75% of the cohort was recruited through participant referrals, which confirms the feasibility of the PDI in this population. And it worked so fast and it worked so beautifully that we are just so excited. We are starting another pilot soon in a different community, so I'll keep you guys informed about that. So we did a pre and post workshop evaluation. So when they came in, we kind of really assessed their knowledge, their perceptions, and their self-efficacy in talking to other people about things, reproductive health issues, specifically about HPV vaccination and about cervical cancer prevention. So at the end of the workshop, we also did a post-evaluation. And based on that, we found there was a significant increase in knowledge regarding HPV, HPV vaccination, and cervical cancer prevention, all three of those. And there was definitely increased confidence in their ability to impart the learned information about cervical cancer and about HPV vaccination to their social network, to their families, their mother, their kids, their brothers, sisters, friends, whoever. And this was like more shown up as self-efficacy in terms of being a health advocate for the community. That was a very big thing. They kept on calling themselves, so we are going to be the health advocate. So I'm the health advocate and I'm going to talk to my mother about it. I'm the health advocate and I'm going to talk to my sister about it. So they felt like a lot of pride in that. Exactly what we were hoping. So we did a 3-month follow-up with this entire group. So we gave ourselves like 1 week to get all those 40 women back in for a follow-up evaluation. We were within that specified given time, we were only able to reach 90% of the women, which is still good, about 36. And women retained. We actually kind of look at their knowledge and their self-efficacy, their confidence level and everything. The women actually retained their self-efficacy in being a health advocate even after 3 months at a significant level, which was great. Their knowledge went down a bit. It wasn't significant overall, but in specific areas, it still was. So the younger group, I'm not surprised to share that, is retained more information regarding modes of transmissions for HPV and HPV vaccine because that seemed more relevant to them, to themselves. And the older group, 30 to 50 year old, retained more information regarding cervical cancer screening and pap tests and how to do it and who to talk to and what to do. So I was not surprised by that, but at the same time, it was very interesting to note how the knowledge kind of differentiated in terms of the age groups. So when we design the future programs, we'll know exactly what to focus on for which age group. So that was our 3-month follow-up. So in the 3-month follow-up, we also found altogether each health advocate had reached out to an average of 7 women. Within the 3 months, they were all asked to kind of keep a record of whoever they talked to. So they kind of kept the age and the person that they talked to. They didn't have to tell us their names, but just count, keep a count. So the 18 to 29 year olds had spoken to a total of 236 women about HPV vaccine. Out of that, about 138 had expressed interest in getting the HPV vaccine. We didn't have any way to follow up to see if they got it or not, and in a future trial we probably would. And the same group had talked to about 222 women about the importance of cervical cancer screening. It was hard for us to tease out in terms of if some of the women were the same between cervical cancer and HPV vaccine. We could not really clear it out at that point. So in the future trial, we'll definitely look at that. So the 30 to 50-year-old had reached out to about 130 women about the importance of cervical cancer screening. And out of that, 103 had expressed interest in getting cervical cancer screening for themselves. So if we just count 236 plus 130, that is about 360 something. And if you kind of divide that with 40, that would kind of give us an average of about 7 women per health advocate that they reached out to. So that's how we, so we are underestimating the reach, but at the same time, just think about it. A small project, we started with 40, and within 3 months, we reached over 300 women. That's amazing. And the power of PDI kind of really shows up in this project. And the conclusion was the culturally specific prevention strategy does work. It did work in this thing, and it confirms the feasibility of PDI in this population, and it demonstrates to be effective with younger as well as older women. And it is very time and cost effective, and it builds community ownership and capacity. And I think that's it, and I just wanted to thank the Foundation for Women's Cancer, which funded this pilot with support from an unrestricted educational grant from Roche Molecular Diagnostics. Thank you very much.
Dr. Chhabra does have to catch a flight, but she's willing to answer a few questions now in case anyone has any before she has to run. We'll save the rest of the questions to the end of the session, but anything on the presentation that you just saw? We'll start with the back.
Yes, we did. So every group that we did four workshops. So every workshop that we did, we added more questions to the information already that we had collected from different websites. So they had a booklet with them that they could refer to. And that also had the websites and everything where they could get more information from. So in the bag, there was a booklet, there was a little book to keep their records in terms of who all they talked to, and the pens. So. We did not actually kind of go into detail about that, but they were supposed to be in their social network. So it could have been family, it could have been friend, or it could have been a social acquaintance that they go to class with or attend or meet on a regular basis. So they had to have some kind of relationship with them in order to feel comfortable to talk about it. So that was our understanding. It is. It is kind of compared to what it is in the rest of the country. I think the HPV uptake is somewhere between 57% for the girls and about 35% for the boys within the specified age group of 11 and 13 in the catchment area of Albert Einstein Cancer Center. That is Montefiore Medical Center in the Bronx, which is very, very similar to what is in the rest of the country. So I think some of the women who had jobs, who were also participating in our program, they all have medical insurance. And most of them who have medical insurance go for an yearly checkup. They don't wait for 3 years. But a lot of young women don't really know when to start. So if they are seeing somebody in a relationship, then they might go for an STD test, or they kind of go for gynecologist. If they don't have a steady boyfriend, if they're not seeing somebody, then they don't feel that they need to go for it. So I think that is one of the issues. The Latina women still end up going for it because they get more, the prevalence is higher, so they get diagnosed more. But what I believe is the African-American women in Bronx, I think they go at a much later stage when it is already developed a lot, like second stage or something, where the mortality rate is pretty high. Sure.
I'm at a federally qualified health center. Mm-hmm. Did you give any incentive to the women as far as for how many
So in this pilot we did not, but the pilot that we're starting right now this month, we're going to give them about $5 for recruiting every other woman, and we're gonna see if that works even faster than it did for that study. I think $25 to them, and also like food, and the fact that it was a very casual atmosphere, which was not in a health center, it was outside of a health center, they could just come and relax and just talk about it, and they could raise questions. So that some of the questions that they raised were so personal and funny. So like a 50-year-old was asking me, so if I'm spooning with my boyfriend, would I get it? And it's things like that. So it was just, in some ways, it was very charming to kind of see these women. They have nobody else that they can ask these questions with, and they could. They felt comfortable enough to ask. And then the younger women were having difficulty finding a provider, and the older women said, oh, let me tell you what provider to go to in this area. So there was such a great exchange of information and the social companionship that was very important for the study.
Did you have a question?
Yeah. Did you see differences in screening for women that had had kids already or finished having kids? And, you know, did you look for that?
We didn't look for that. We did not. We did not look for that. But that's a very important thing to think about.
In Eastern Kentucky, we see the younger women getting their regular screening, but now the lack of prioritization once they're done having kids, they don't think they need to go back. They have those kind of groups.
Okay. Did you have one more? Thank you.
Yeah.
I
did them all. I mean, they're all Latina. So basically, I mean, there were, but not. We didn't see any as such. We saw differences in terms of age groups, in terms of their misconceptions about who has it and how it spreads and how we can get it. So the older women were much more surprised. The younger women seemed to have a much better idea about things. They did not know that the cervical cancer screening was that important, but the older groups seemed to have some idea of that, but they had absolutely no idea about HPV or how it spreads. So that was a very big difference that we saw between the two age groups.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.